Today we're in Psalm 93, so let's open a word of the word of prayer. Father, what an honor it is to gather with this family, like-minded, with hearts fixed on you. May we praise you. May we honor you. May we take our eyes off of the foolishness of the world that is all going to pass away. And may we be looking to you, the eternal one, the everlasting one, the one who has bought us by your blood, to the one who has sealed us with your spirit, to the one who's promised eternal victory to us forever. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we look at this beautiful psalm of your majesty and your reigning and your strength and your perfection, that we would get a better glimpse of you than really ever before. And we would just be hearts fixed on you. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're into what we call the royal psalms here for the next few psalms. And those are the ones where really it's talking about the majesty of God. It's talking about him ruling and reigning. And today we have a little shorty. It's five verses. And this psalm is read at the morning sacrifice every Friday morning throughout Israel. So this is a very familiar psalm to them. And I'll just read it. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established of old, from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. As I was spending a little time on this psalm this morning, the thought just occurred to me, how much of my time each day am I focused on world events and on all the bad news that's out there everywhere? And, you know, we kind of lose our breath at times when we see the depth of depravity and some of the rules and regulations and laws that are passed. And we say, oh, no, how terrible that will be. Well, yes and no. It's all going to pass away. All going to pass away. So how much of my time am I really thinking about our Lord reigning forever? How much am I spending my time on praising him and worshiping him? Because I can assure you, looking at what we call the news will do nothing but depress you, and you can't do anything about it except pray for it. Because worrying about it and stewing about it and telling each other about how bad it is isn't going to help at all, is it? It's not going to help at all. Actually, it tears you down. I think it moves you backward. But if we can tell each other, oh, how to praise him. And if we can show the world, be a witness to the world of what we have that they don't have because we tell them what he's done in our lives, that's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear anything else. They don't need to hear that they're sinners. They already know that. They don't need to hear they need to turn their ways to the Lord. They already know that. But they need some answers, and the answer is what the Lord has. And there's no other answer, is there? There's no other answer. So let's begin today by just singing this hymn. I think we'll call it a hymn, Our God Reigns. And so the words are here, and any of you that want to stand, I'm going to stand, but you don't have to. But I just think it's good to stand when we can, and we're in a circle here, and we'll just lift our voices to the Lord. Thank you.
grace, good news. Good news. Announcing peace. Proclaiming news of happiness. Our God brings.
So as we look at this little psalm, we've already hit the first few verses here. The Lord reigns. That's Yahweh. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit reigns. He is clothed with majesty, adorned, splendor. And not just clothed with it, he is majesty, isn't he? He is clothed with majesty, he is clothed, he is girded, he had strengthened, in other words, what? Armored himself, put on himself with what? With strength. He is strength. He is power, all power. Surely the world is established, at least for a time, so that it cannot be moved. Keep coming back to the predictability of the planets, for example. We know exactly where every planet will be at any given time tomorrow, week from tomorrow, month from tomorrow, year from tomorrow. And you would think everything, well, that's easy because everything is fixed, right? Everything is just fixed. Well, I've told you before, we're moving at 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. Really fixed, isn't it? And we're rotating 1,037 miles an hour around our axis. And yet we know exactly where everything will be at this time next year. It just happens, isn't it? It just happens. It just happened that way, doesn't it? So amazing. So utterly amazing. The world is established for a season. But what do we read in Revelation? The world will pass away. This world is going to pass away. But for the time being, it's established. And as long as the sun comes up, Israel's still around. That's what we read in Jeremiah. The world is established so that it cannot be moved. Oh, yes, but it's climate change. We got to do something about climate change. Is that ridiculous or what?
Yes.
I mean, like everything else that man comes up with, it's ridiculous. Anytime he comes up with evolution or whatever he comes up with to try to get control of you, it's just disastrous, right? And what do we read in Psalm 2? Why do the heathen rage and plot a vain thing? He holds them in derision. In other words, the Lord is laughing at all of this because he sees how ridiculous it is. And yet I think, well, you know, I can't even have a, I can't use gas in my oven, and I'm going to have to get rid of anything that's not electric. And the military now is considering they're going to all electric vehicles. Well, boy, that is a really, wow, that'll really make me feel good, right? But he's laughing at all of that. It's so ridiculous. And that's kind of like myself. When I'm worrying about these things, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? What am I going to do about it? The only thing I'm here on earth to do is to tell somebody about him, not to tell about how bad things are. He doesn't need us to do that. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. And then your throne, what is established from of old. Old isn't bad, is it? His throne is established from old. You are from 6,000 BC. Is that what it says? You are from everlasting. Think of that. I can't think of it. I mean, I can think of it. I can't understand it. But he's always been. You are from everlasting. In our study in Daniel right now, we're just looking at the fact that God raises up kingdoms and puts them down. And, you know, the Babylonians were at the top of the heap. They were the golden head for a time. But like 70 years, and then they're gone. Oh, the Third Reich, that's going to at least be there for 1,000 years. Isn't that what Hitler said? Gone. All the other worldly kingdoms, gone. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. Now we're going to talk about the floods here. He's going to mention three times. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their waves. And you can go all kinds of directions with that. Those of you who spend some time down at the beach, particularly when there's storms, not so much when it's calm, but when these breakers come in, and about the biggest breakers we ever get here are, what, 10, 15 feet? But you go to Hawaii where there may be 50 or 60-foot breakers, and the ground trembles when those waves crash down. I mean, that's heavy duty. Heavy duty. Noise. I was walking down along the river, our river, you know, it's most of the time it's a dry concrete bed. But we had a lot of rain, and one of the last rains, it was really wall-to-wall water, and it was all calm, and you couldn't hear, early in the morning, you couldn't hear anything. And then you get down to where there's some rocks, because that's where the tide change limit is from the ocean coming up into the Santa Ana River there, or Los Angeles, whatever you call that river. And so there's a bunch of rocks there that happen to be there. And so you're getting along, you're hearing this noise. What is this noise? What is this noise? And these are just, this is just a little tiny rocks. I mean, not real small rocks, but the water just flowing over that makes this beautiful sound. And the bigger the wave, the more the racket, right? But he is mightier than all of those things, mightier than their waves. And then how many of you feel waves coming at you from the other side? Like all the time, right? And what happens to the breaking wave after it breaks? It's gone. So he comes in with all these attacks, Satan, and he's really going to do a number on you. But all you have to do is rebuke him, and the waves keep coming, don't they? Any of you go this last week without any kind of discernment as far as seems like somebody's against you, or they're making a mountain out of a molehill or whatever else, that you know it's not the person, it's the demon behind them or whatever. That's what we have. But he's victorious over that. And what did Jesus say when they were waking him up and the water was pouring in over the boat as they come across the sea there, Galilee? He said what? Peace, be still. Now that's an amazing miracle, because you know the reason we have waves is because the energy forces get pushed in water. That's why you have tsunamis 3,000 miles away from an earthquake, because the waves don't dissipate, because the water is not really compressible. So that wave just pushes all the way across the ocean. But he says, peace be still, and it's still. What power he has. What power he is. What power he is. And where it says, the earth is established, it shall not be moved. I think of the Colossians there, where it says, he holds together all things. And when he lets go, that's what we have. You know, atomic fission, what happens? You misbalance the nucleus of an atom, which is all positive charges, and they have a repelling effect into them. And so you see this atomic bomb, you say, wow, that's a lot of power. That's from almost no matter, just releasing those protons. And he's holding it all together. And one day, he's going to say, let it go, and poof, a new heaven and a new earth will be. But that's who he is. He's mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. So remember that when you get hammered with Satan this week, when you get hammered with the workers of iniquity, he's mightier than all those waves. Don't despair. Don't think, oh, how bad this is. Oh, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Are you kidding me? You're not going to get through it without him. But he's always going to be with you and keep you and never forsake you, right? And how many times do I have to learn that lesson? I guess it's every day. He's mightier than the noise of many waters, mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. And then he closes with, your testimonies not just are sure, your testimonies are very sure, very emphatic statement there. We know his word is true, is all true, and can never be anything but true, and nothing else is sure, nothing else is true, all true but his word. And then I like this, holiness adorns. Think of that, holiness adorns. And some of you ladies often have a scarf or something to adorn you. I mean, it's just so beautiful, isn't it? It beautifies. Holiness beautifies or adorns or dresses up what? Your house. What is his house? I think part of it's right here this morning. I think that's us. I think that's his church. Holiness adorns your church. Holiness adorns your house. We are the temples of his Holy Spirit in our body, aren't we? But because of him, we have that holiness. Now, what level of holiness is in your life? What level of holiness is available or I shouldn't say available, visible? What level of holiness is visible in your life? Well, sometimes there's a shadow of it there, and sometimes it's negative. A lack of holiness in my life, but holiness adorns your house. I pray that the holiness in our lives, in my life, is increasing. That it's more and more and more obvious. People have to be around me less and less to see the holiness. Because this says holiness is going to adorn your house. And then for how long? Oh Lord, forever. Oh Lord, forever. That's the only forever is him, right? Nothing else, everything else in this world is going to pass away. But not in the spiritual. You know, it's so amazing, isn't it? Everything we see is going to pass away. But that's what we are concerned about. We're concerned about what we see, right? And everything we can't see is eternal. So how is that for absolutely opposite the way we live generally? We live all concerned about what we see. And what we can't see, we don't even think about it very much or, you know, enough, right? So we want to remember today, he is reigning And he is with us, but we can't see him yet. But we know he's here. We can sense his presence. Go outside the door. If there's a breeze, you can't see the breeze either, but you can feel it, right? So the spiritual reality is where it is for the believer. The physical reality is all going to pass away, but he will never pass away. So may we honor him as we know he reigns, and he's given us prayer, the power of prayer to praise him. Make sure with all of our prayers we have a liberal amount of praising and honoring and worshiping him, because I think that's really the most important part of prayer. Intercessory prayer is important, but I don't think it's as important as praising him. So I have to look at my prayer life at times, and the least important in prayer is me. But how much of your prayer, my prayer, is spent on me? I'm prayed way too much in a way, or not enough on him. So here we are, may we be led by his Spirit as we redeem these moments together this morning. So let us pray.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your love, your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, the light of you, when I found joy of reaching
Amen. And as we close this psalm, we read, holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Let's close by singing this song, When I Look Into Your Holiness. Father, we do worship you this morning. Your majesty adorns your people. And the brightness of your majesty has been compared to the sunbeam, compared to a glowworm or a firefly. And so we praise you, Lord. All the things we're concerned about, may they indeed become shadows in the light of you. And Lord, help us in our witness not to forget, just to tell the people what you've done for us. Sinners, totally lost, not even interested in you. But you saved us. You died on the cross for all sin. And every one of us is eternal. Most people don't think that. They think they die like a dog and that's it. Eternal. And where will we spend eternity? You leave that up to us. And we say, save, save, save. That's true. But you'll save everybody unless they resist you. And you will not violate their will. But send them bumblebees, Lord. Make them want to go. Not legally, but out of love. Be with India today, Lord. This is the week that the India's population exceeds that of China. Now believed to be the most populous nation in the world. Almost 1.5 billion and 20 plus million increased last year. China lost 10. Lord, it's not the numbers, but there are huge numbers in those two continents as well. 3 billion, I should say, people plus. Unbelievable, the number of people. So many born every day. You're in control, Lord. Bless each one here because we came and because we are yours and because we are honoring you and we look to you as you will reign forever and you allow us to share in that tabernacling with you. So we can hardly wait, Lord. We can hardly wait. And forgive us when we say, oh, it was so bad the Lord took that person home early. Is being with you worse than being in this world? I don't think so. If they know you. Now, if they don't know you, it's another story. Then leave them here, Lord, until they're saved.
Yes.
Go with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.